You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome. Welcome, everyone. You've made it to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm feeling pretty good, Dan. I just had my teeth cleaned, and I got the best compliment I've ever gotten from a dentist.
Oh, what? You got a purdy mouth?
Similar. He told me I had the teeth of an 18-year-old.
did he grab your ass while he was saying it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that good.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. G.
Dr. G.
If you're in Peoria and need a dentist, he's very kind. His good eyes.
Oh, come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, and ho, ho, ho against the Christmas stock machine.
Santa has been delayed.
Yeah, Santa is losing the world Christmas.
Yeah.
They shot him down over the Arctic.
Got a red sleigh down.
Come on into the shop with us today, folks. I already said that part. Shit. Oh, see, I got all rattled thinking about Christmas shit. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us this holiday season. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies for maximizing gains, cutting losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge and or resource centers on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our beginning at trading episodes a listen. We have many of those, links in the description. But the best place to be is our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day. It's just a really awesome place to be, a growing community of like-minded individuals sharing ideas, jokes, opinions, thoughts, news stories. It's just really awesome. Mustaches, yes. Many a mustache to be shared. And when you do join that server, Kyle, tell them what they'll win.
A fancy mug, a beer koozie, all kinds of good stuff. Oh, to the people who have sent me their addresses and have not received anything yet, our runner who takes everything to the store for us got COVID and shut down that store on accident. So you should be getting some stuff mailed out here soon.
Oh.
Yeah, the whole Staples is like running on two people right now. They think they just reopened.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. And when you do join that server, you just got to send us a private message or email with your mailing address so we can send you one of those mugs or shot glasses. We're just so glad you're all here. We have so much fun. Oh, I love the China Shop. It's so much better hanging out with friends instead of just facing trading alone.
Instead of just me and you.
Out in the cold. Yeah.
You getting sick of me already?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, my God. I mean,
I don't blame 20, you.
20-some years. Another 20, and I'll be done. I'll be out. Oh, we got any show news other than this is our last episode of the year that we're recording?
Yeah, we've finished recording for all the guests for that super bonus episode. So now it's just putting them all together. There's some issues with the heel-stomping troglodyte on the upper floor in Vico's office. Hopefully she doesn't listen.
Yeah, the TradePro recording. Yeah.
But one of our Discord users is an audio engineer, so he's taking a crack at seeing if he can filter some of that out.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Via Vespucci.
And we have a great interview with Oddburger founder. Oh, God, what was his name?
James McInnes.
Thank you. Yeah. Which I think I've been calling him McInnes this whole time, so apologies to him. And then January is actually starting to fill out. We've got Jared Bibler on the schedule. He's the author of Iceland's Secret. Sounds like a Wolf of Wall Street story, but told from like the eyes of the regulator.
Oh, wow.
Basically how like three banks had like 10 times the GDP of like the Iceland.
Wow.
And it was insane.
Yeah. Talking to this guy is going to be really fun.
We've got another crypto expert, James Falk, who also wrote a book that should be the week after that. And then Sarah Glass from TradePro, the Flow Queen, will be back to hopefully teach us some more about actually using order flow.
Yes, I am woefully ignorant in the technique. Me too.
And now we might know what she's talking about.
All right. Well, it's about time, because I had that subscription for about a month, and I couldn't make heads or tails. It's not helping me or doing me any favors.
Right.
All right. Well, folks, sit back. We have got a lavish, lawless, lily-livered show for you today. Plenty of stocks on the radar, plenty of market-moving news, and more options than Santa Claus got presents.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gotta alienate all our non-Santa loving listeners.
More options than annoyed Jewish folks on Christmas.
And as always, please reach out to us, folks. We love, adore your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, on Discord. If you're old school, send us an email, the2bulls@financialneptune.com. Or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you live in a magic house and everybody born in the house gets magic powers until one day they start to fade and it's up to you to figure out what's going on. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out.
I have no idea what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, I just went and saw Encanto.
Oh, okay.
It was really, really good.
All right, does that bring us to the bet? Can we start the show now?
Oh yeah, let's talk about that bet, Kyle.
Well, I made money. I didn't lose this week. I had Capital One. I was shorting it. Opened the week at $149.26. Dropped down to $142. I think on Friday it was looking really good for most of the week, and then Thursday it like just skyrocketed. Almost got to my stop limit before helping me out Friday. Closed at $144.08, which took my total from $440.20 up to $455.47. So I'm chipping away at that deficit.
All right. Yeah, you're almost back where you belong, right?
No, not even close. I'm still down 10%. That Roblox stop limit I put in there was really, really loose.
Well, that'll learn you.
It's really annoying is it actually hit my profit target this week.
This week?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking really solid all week. I shorted AMC.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday morning, they opened at $27.49. And I'd had my take profit at $25. And they hit that Monday. Tuesday, they dropped down below $21 a share.
Yep.
So I didn't have a second take profit, but I was still thinking like, oh, Dan, you clever son of a bitch. You did it. You did it. Home run. There's no win in December for Kyle now. But today, the AMC did close around 29 something. So
yeah,
my stop had got moved to my entry. And I did manage to, make 20 some bucks. It brings my bet total up to $491.41.
I got good news for you too, Dan. Random went with Shoe Carnival in a poor choice. Ha, fuck you, Random. Shoe Carnival opened at $39.26, closed at $37.97. So Random is now sitting at $479.12, which means you are in the lead.
Oh my God, it's been so long since this has been a thing.
I know, and I've given you so many shitty consequences, it's making me really nervous.
Yeah. Well, you don't have the mustache anymore, so I guess making you go to a children's park and watch for 2 hours is out of the question.
Well, technically, I still do. I just haven't shaved all the rest of it around it. It's kind of turned into a beard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if I can think of something creative. I'm sure I got something up my sleeve.
Yeah, like you haven't been thinking about that for 3 months.
Oh, nope, not at all. Not even a little bit. Not even enough to say, hey, let's talk about some news.
Okay.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
All right, Dan, should we start with the big story?
Oh, well, I think they're all big stories, but I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about marijuana?
No.
Oh, what's the big story to you?
The Fed's decision, I think we got to talk about that. They just had their December meeting, and not only have they announced that they're speeding up the tapering of the asset purchase program, they've also looking to, or they indicated that it may see as many as 3 rate hikes in 22.
Interest rate hikes.
I think people were expecting 1 to 2. Now they're expecting 3.
Ooh.
Next year. Yeah.
Next year, though.
Next year.
Okay. So don't worry about it. It's not a thing.
Party's not yet over, but they're definitely kicking us out.
Somebody called the cops.
Yes. I'm trying to see if it says when that first one was. I thought they said the first one was looking like it'd be somewhere in March, but I'm trying to find it in the, let's see. Market seems okay with 3 rate hikes. Senior fixed income strategist said the notion of 3 hikes in 22 is a bit more hawkish than expected. It seems the market is okay with that. So because only 2 Fed officials expected 4 rate hikes next year, the market doesn't expect the Fed to be more aggressive. There were still many who expected 2. I think the market sees that next year it could be 2, could be 3, but it's not going to be any more than that.
Oh, well, it won't be more than 3. It's inflation is transitory.
No, they're not saying that anymore. I don't think they even said the word transitory this time. That was like one of the things we were watching for.
Well, I'm just saying you can't believe a goddamn word they say.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Next time they come out, it's going to be 4 hikes, 5 hikes.
Yeah.
Can I get 6 hikes? We got 7 hikes. Hikes. Who wants the hike? Who wants the hike? You want to hike? Hike over there. Hike over there.
That's fair.
Yeah, we'll get there.
There's some other notes in here when Powell gave his I don't know what it's the Q&A session, I guess.
Yeah, after the FOMC.
Yeah, he said that the disappointing return to labor force participation could take longer. Although the unemployment rate has been dropping quickly, the participation has been disappointing. He said he'd certainly thought that last fall's unemployment insurance ran off as vaccinations increased, schools reopened, there'd be a surge in labor force participation. We've begun to see some improvement. Feels likely now that the return to higher participation is going to take longer. Yeah, pay them more money. In past cycles, labor force participation has had a tendency to recover in the wake of strong recoveries in unemployment. This time is different, however. Could well have been that this cycle is different because of the short nature of it and a very strong number of job openings. But the reality is that we don't have a strong labor force participation recovery yet, and we may not have it for some time.
Yeah.
And then I think there was, okay, so doubling the speed of tapers, I think, is the appropriate way to go. And the Fed, they think they can regain the control of the inflation narrative. Fed's forecast showed the officials believe the central tendency for core inflation will be at a hotter pace of 2.5% to 3% next year, up from its former projections of 2 to 2.5%. And then futures markets shifted to give a 50-50 probability of a rate hike for March and 90% for May.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff came out of this one. The craziest thing, though, was that all the buying that happened after the report came out. And I think what happened was everybody basically sold off beforehand, and then there's just no more sellers after the announcement was done. So everyone started buying at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we definitely watched that happen in real time on Thursday.
But that just speaks to the importance of not having a bias. And I know George says this a lot when we're listening to to him talk and give his updates. Don't try to predict what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it sounds bearish, that doesn't mean that the market's going to interpret it that way. The market can be quite irrational sometimes.
The last two of these calls that we've been on in the trading room at TradePro listening,
mm-hmm.
I think George's initial response of, oh, that's bearish or that's bullish, and then the market does the exact opposite.
Right. Both times it sounded like it should have been something bearish, and both times the market just started screaming upward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't want to have that bias. You want to let the market tell you what it's doing.
And that's good for pretty much anything you're trading, really.
Yeah.
That's why we try to pick levels above and below. Let the price action tell us what it wants to do.
Before we move on from inflation, though, I did want to mention that the Bank of England has already started hiking their rates.
I did see that. That's the first of the major G7 banks, right?
Yes. The first of the major G7. Also interesting to me, the Swiss National Bank has mm-hmm. kept its ultra loose stance in place. They have a policy, their interest rates right now are -0.75%.
Huh.
And while their inflation is still rising, it's much lower than elsewhere. It's just they expect it 1% next year and down to almost 0.5% in 2023. So maybe there is something to negative interest rates.
I mean, how do we apply for a loan?
Right.
You're going to pay me money to borrow?
We will pay you to borrow this money. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Sign me up.
Negative interest rates. The longer you hold that loan, the closer it gets to nothing.
Right. Just it's a sad state when that's a better return than putting it in something else.
You're right.
All right. What other stories you got?
Well, I've got a marijuana story and I've got an insider trading story. Which do you want to hear first?
Let's start with the marijuana because that is a big story in my mind.
Yes. So the Democratic Senate leadership dropped the marijuana banking reform stuff from the defense bill. Why it's in the defense bill, I don't know. I'm not a politician.
Probably because that's the one that they know the Republicans need to pass.
got to spend them gun dollars. Like, sorry, the military's more than just guns. They have tanks and bombs too.
Yes.
and submarines. anyway, back to marijuana. Yeah, I guess the Democratic senator or congressman Ed Perlmutter from Colorado was speaking in an interview with marijuanamoment.net that they're pretty irritated that they dropped it, but that all of the senators talking about it to get it to drop, he says, was progress. So it sounds like a pretty politician answer to me.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we had just seen a story pop up about Republicans that like worked on a bipartisan piece of legislation in the House to try to get some sort of reform going.
Yeah.
So for the fact that a Democratic senator has blocked this is kind of strange to me.
Well, you know, my opinion on how they're just brands. They don't actually have values, those big political parties. But that's just me. Let's not get into that.
Yeah.
I guess it's no secret Chuck Schumer posed an obstacle to enacting marijuana banking reform. Mm-hmm. He's repeatedly said that he believes comprehensive reform to end federal cannabis prohibition and put in place a regulatory scheme should come first. Mm-hmm. So he's saying we can't reform the bank because we haven't ended the prohibition federally, which I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's kind of ridiculous. It's
well, like, yeah, then.
A lot easier to end the prohibition.
If you're writing the law, you can just put that part into the law that you're writing.
Right?
Am I not understanding something here?
I don't know. I keep listening to I'm Just a Bill from Schoolhouse Rocks, but it does not cover this.
No.
Yeah, so it doesn't look like they're going to get in the Senate 60 votes to advance federal descheduling. So they, you know, that's why they were doing the safe banking is what I thought, was because they couldn't end the prohibition, and it'll be easier to just get the banking stuff all squared away first. So this has got me bummed about the state of the marijuana industry.
Yeah, and the stocks have been reflecting that too.
Oh yeah, yeah, the pot ETF that Jen has shares in. Right now, she's in cash until it's done dropping.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
We got an update on the Biden's Build Back Better bill.
The Biden Build Back Better Act.
Apparently, it's getting pushed to 22. They've pretty much given up hopes and trying to pass it before the end of the year, which considering we got two more weeks to go, and I'm sure they're going to be taking off for Christmas. I think they get their Christmas month break coming up here soon. Does that sound about right? Right. I mean, politicians, right? Obviously, they get a month off for Christmas.
Well, I mean, that's what I would want, right? I would want the summer off for Christmas, too.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to write your own pay raises and vacation schedule. Apparently, though, the EV credit is still in limbo. I know we talked last week about Canada being very, very pissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
About that being in there. So there's nothing that's really... So it's still in limbo. It hasn't... I don't think it's really been addressed yet. The hopes are starting to fade, though.
The hopes that they'll take it out?
The hopes that it'll be in there.
Oh, okay. So Canada, once again, getting their way because they threw a fit.
Such strong words from Canada. I really didn't expect it. I think you kind of have to listen to them when they do that.
Right. The nicest guy in the room is getting pissed off. Everybody pays attention. Well, I do have a touching story of government bipartisanship, Kyle.
Oh, they actually worked together on something?
Yes.
What was that?
Now, I know that there's just so much gridlock going on. So I thought, when I found this story, I thought I'd share this with everybody in the China shop. Just to warm your heart this holiday season, 52 members of Congress have violated the law designed to stop insider trading and prevent conflicts of interest.
It's a Festivus miracle.
It's a Festivus miracle. Nothing knows bipartisanship more than insider trading.
Right.
because this list is pretty even. It's pretty fucking even. There's no one party that does it more than the other. I mean,
what was the violations? Was it just failure to file disclosures, or was it actual?
It's almost entirely failure to disclose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all the whole disclosure thing is to keep the conflicts of interest and,
right,
and to keep everything above board. But if you're not disclosing that your spouse bought stock in a healthcare company making COVID drugs until 12 months later.
Yeah, that's a problem.
What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the penalty for this law, I mean, I wonder who wrote the law.
Yeah.
It's like a $250 fine.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Or like for, yeah, it's just in the hundreds of dollars, and it's just like a late fee. Like,
someone go tell Martha Stewart that and see what she has to say.
Right.
That didn't warm my heart, Dan.
No.
No.
They're working together to make money for themselves.
Yeah.
And not hold themselves accountable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We got anything else for you before we move on?
No, that'll do it for my stories.
Nothing about Reddit?
Oh shit. That's right. Reddit is they're planning an IPO for sure. They actually announced December 16th.
That was the filing for it, right?
Yeah, they filed. They hope to get a $15 billion valuation.
Do they have a expected date on when they'd actually debut, or is it all just still in the filing stage right now?
As far as I know, it's just in the filing stages. There's no date, but we probably assume it's going to be sometime in 2022.
I wonder how that's going to work.
The IPO, well, they file with the SEC.
No, I just wonder if because they have algorithms, I'm sure, that promote certain content over other.
Yeah.
Is it going to be their stock at the top of Wall Street Bets all the time now?
They try to get Reddit users to get in on the IPO?
Right.
Probably.
I have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah. I don't know if they're worth $10 or $15 billion, but they're definitely worth some money. They make a profit.
They're worth something. If you want to own a piece of that toxic playground, it's all yours.
It's all yours. You know, it's funny you say that, because I'll get on Reddit, but I won't get on fucking Facebook or Meta or whatever the fuck they want to call themselves.
I'll read through Reddit, but I have to be real careful on there, because it can turn into a shit show really quick.
Oh, don't comment on Reddit.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no.
That'll get you in trouble. But at least Reddit, like, I can go stream the content that I want to see. Like, I can.
Right.
That's the only difference. But yeah. I once put my opinion on a movie on Reddit. And one time. I was like, okay, apparently I didn't realize what a big fucking idiot I am and how I should just die. Whoops.
Speaking of dying.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's a terrible lead into Sue Pullen. I don't know where I was going with that.
Are you ready for your mortgage troubles to die?
Yes. Do you have a loan that just won't go away? call the loan hitman at Fairway Independent Mortgage, led by Sue Pullen.
Oh yeah, no, keep going, man. You're doing great.
Her Charlie's Angels team will get out there and end that loan.
Angels, I've got a line on some high rates. We need to take care of that.
Can we say any of this?
I don't know. I'm just gonna. Oh, wow. Yeah. Two Bulls in a China Shop is still brought to you by Sue Pullen. We'll see what happens after this episode.
Festivus Miracle.
At Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor. Finding the right loans and products for you and your needs, she's going to work with you. She's going to get a plan going. She's going to pitch you that plan. You're going to approve that plan. She's not going to force you to do it. That's not the kind of lady she is. No, no, no.
No, you pull the trigger, not her.
You pull the trigger. That's right. She keeps her hands clean. Oh, she's got over 20 years of experience assassinating rates. Strangling bad deals. helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even reverse mortgages. Sue will help. She's licensed to kill in 27 states. So reach out and see what Sue could do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904. Or you can shoot her an email, S-P-U-L-L-E-N, S-Pullen, at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number, 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number, 206-048. That email again is S-Pullen at fairwaymc.com. And that phone number, 520-977-7904.
How do you follow that up with just a canned trade pro speech that I've been given every week?
You know who also kills it? In the education department.
No, Trade Pro saves, Dan. Sue slays, but Trade Pro saves.
There you go.
Do you need to save your trading plan? Is your strategy going to shit? Pro Academy is the educational platform that you need to learn how to trade like an institutional trader. And George is going through now, updating the courses. He's got new strategies that once you sign up with them, you get access to all future content too. It's so great.
Yep.
They've got a great staff. We talked to all of them. If you question that, listen to any of the episodes with Vico, George, or Sarah, and you'll get to know them. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can just use our affiliate link in the episode description. It's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills. That's tradeproacademy.com.
All right. Whew. Feeling better?
I got a headache from laughing.
Oh, all right. Well, what a perfect time to start talking about some stocks then.
Hey, Dan, can we have some Dire Straits? I heard that one on the radio today, and I've been itching to hear our version.
Oh, yeah. We don't have Dire Straits here, Kyle. We got China Shop Band. Yeah. But you're more than welcome to hear the China Shop Band. Let's cue that up. Now look at them bozos. That's the way to do it. Do your investing up commission free. That ain't working. That's the way to do it. Money in something like the S&P. It ain't certain, but that's the way to do it. Let me tell you, just play it long. Maybe get an index tracking marijuana. Maybe get some Arctic space funds. All right, there you go. Happy now? Get your fixed. Better. Scratch your itch.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. Kyle, I didn't do any trading this week that wasn't futures trading, but I do have a couple to talk about.
I did a little bit. I picked up, I had some shorts on Capital One that paid out all right. Figured I might as well mimic my bet pick. I did get out at pretty much the perfect time. I probably could have got a little bit better price on them, but I mean, I was quite happy with how they did. I can't remember what the actual numbers were, but what was the other one? Oh, I picked up a couple Zillow calls, 65 strike. I only got filled on two, which is really disappointing, but I did sell one of them for a nice little profit, letting the other one ride to see if we can hit that 65.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, Zillow is one of the ones I'm going to talk about because I'm still, it's looks like it's on the precipice of going one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
We can cover that here in a minute.
Well, Kyle, I know you had some Johnson & Johnson news.
Yeah, that one was kind of big in my mind. Let me pull up the story here real quick. The CDC came out and recommended that Americans should take the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines instead of the Johnson & Johnson shot. This is because it can cause rare but serious blood clots. This came out on Thursday after the market closed, I think, or really close to the close.
Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson did not react too well. But what's crazy about it is, I mean, okay, so there's about 16 million people who've gotten the Johnson & Johnson shot. And the number of people who have gotten these serious blood clots, I want to say was like eight.
Nine.
Nine?
Nine confirmed deaths.
Nine confirmed deaths, 54 cases. Like, that's pretty good rate of not giving you blood clots, I guess. I don't know. Just
of the 16 million people who got the virus, I assure you the death count is higher than nine.
I mean, can you link it to that? Like, is that a higher than expected case of blood clots over like people who would just get blood clots normally?
Well, I guess it's the I don't know. I'm not a doctor, not a scientist. Me neither. But I would assume that if it's a rare enough kind of blood clot, that they can like look at the blood in a lab and be like, oh, look, this is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine all knotted in here. I don't know.
That's kind of a kick in the balls to Johnson & Johnson. You kind of see it in their stock, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You load up their shot. You load up their stock, and it definitely took its own shot in the ass.
It is sitting on an important level right now of 167.66. I guess the watch then is to see if it's going to hold that or if it's going to drop down into the mid-160s. I got another support line drawn around 161, 78, 162 in that area.
Yeah, I got it at 162.
So, yeah, if we fail that 168, I think we could probably see 162 again.
Yeah, I think if we fail 168, I think it's going to catch in all that volume that we've been seeing in the 162.
You think it'll in the 164 area, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to catch.
Yeah, that probably a decent bet.
It had a big gap down Friday after that news,
and then
a lot of sell-off volume. I think it's going to run out of sellers. I think it's just the knee-jerk reaction to the news. I think the more people process it, the more they're not going to care.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we'll find out.
We will find out. I had 172 as a resistance level before that news.
I had it at 171. Yeah, right in that same area.
So it had just popped above. So this news didn't help. Like, it may have been breaking through.
No, this news put the brakes on like a really nice bull move it was in the middle of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess watch and see if it holds that support. Maybe it maybe people forget about that and pushes that 171, 172 resistance area. And if we can hit that, then we might be looking at another run for all-time highs.
Woo-hoo! All-time highs. My favorite.
But I'm not going to bet either way yet. I'm going to see how it reacts.
Wait and see.
Yeah.
You know what other J name was in the news, Kyle?
No.
JP Morgan.
Oh, yes.
Now, I found this on Reddit, not a news site, and it's an actual press release from the SEC for immediate release on Friday, December 17th. JP Morgan admits to widespread record-keeping failures and agrees to pay a $125 million penalty to resolve SEC charges.
That's a lot of money.
So when you read through, it turns out what they were doing was they were conducting their business communications through social media, things like text messages, WhatsApp, personal email accounts, and then deleting them. So when the SEC went to investigate some stuff they were doing, they went, oh, wait, we were supposed to save all those records?
Oops.
Whoops.
My bad.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably better to say you're sorry rather than let all that information get out.
Right. So here's the thing is you got to figure $125 million is the cheaper option, right?
Oh, it's got to be for whatever they were
doing. Like whatever they're hiding would have cost them more money in fines and penalties. Yeah, they received subpoenas for documents and voluntary requests from SEC staff and numerous investigations during the time period that the firm failed to maintain required records. So it's not even like one investigation the SEC had ongoing. Apparently it was numerous investigations.
Oh, that's not good.
It's not good. This did come out today, so there was some time for their stock to react in today's trading, and I can say honestly that it was a big sell-off day for JP Morgan Chase. And I don't think it's a $125 million fine. I think it's people realizing how much investigation they're under.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Like, oh wait, they're deleting their records? Maybe there's something to be found.
I do have a key support right around 157, which it's pretty much sitting at right now.
Yeah.
I dipped below that, but it kind of closed right around that area. So I have to watch and see if it can retake that level. I'm going to guess not. There's a pretty big volume hump around 153. And then I've got another level down at 147. If it can get through that area, like the volume gets really thin until 140, 139.
Yeah, no, I have those same levels drawn. Yeah, I don't think it's going back up to attack that 162, 163 area just yet.
Probably not.
The volume really accelerated to the downside today. Like,
what's interesting is it was picking up a few days before that too. Like basically all this week, the volume has been nosing up.
Yeah.
Almost like somebody knew something was going on.
Somebody somewhere out there might have known something.
It seems like it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I don't know. After hearing about all those Congress people banding together to insider trade, I couldn't imagine anybody else does it.
It's all the politicians selling their stocks.
They're selling their JP Morgan.
All right, Dad, I got one more story. And I was kind of surprised with this. I think the wife was too. Do you have cheesecake for Christmas? Is that like a big deal?
I do not.
I've never heard of that, but apparently there's a big Philly cream cheese shortage. And Kraft is acknowledging that because people can't bake their cheesecakes because they can't get the cream cheese, they're allowing up to 18,000 people to get a $20 rebate in order to buy another baked good on their dime. I mean, kind of cool of Kraft to try to, you know, to acknowledge that the shortage they got going on. But cheesecake is good, but I never had it for Christmas. Like, that's never been a Christmas treat.
I mean, for my house, it was sugar cookies and, you know, marshmallows, roasted marshmallows on the fire. Instead of chestnuts, we're a marshmallow family. But yeah, cheesecake doesn't seem Christmassy to me.
Not really.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to market a product.
But I still kind of like what they're doing. I mean, that's a good PR campaign for them.
Yes, and it's like, well, if you, I mean, I imagine if you eat cream cheese all the time, you're pretty pissed off. You go to the grocery store, you're like, "Where's my goddamn cream cheese?" I'd be.
Actually, yeah, we haven't been able to find the strawberry cream cheese lately. I had to make my own using jam and regular, like a peasant.
Where'd you find cream cheese, man?
Oh, we're still able to find that, luckily. So apparently it's not that big of a shortage. Or it's not a big tradition in Illinois.
I think they made up that tradition.
It's quite possible. Anyway, what does their stock look like?
Well, it looks like it busted under the 35.5 support. And then it came back up, and now it's retesting it to see from underneath. So we could be looking at a reversal from a long bull trend from this summer. It got as high as 45.
It's interesting, is that would look like it was a gap that it basically just filled the last couple days.
Oh, it did fill that gap, right?
And but it filled it like to the penny almost.
It's almost to the penny, yeah.
Yeah, overall, the structure does look bearish. I have a support drawn at 35 area.
Yeah.
And then another one at 32. Where it tagged on the most recent run. I think if we get below that 35, we're going to reattack that 32, 33 area and probably continue from there.
Yeah, on its downward decline.
This is one of those names, though, that you think that people would really like. It's one of those staples, right?
In value.
Yeah, don't get locked into the downside on this one. Keep an eye on that 38 level, I think, too. If it breaks that 38, then we might see the turnaround on this.
Literally just drew a line on TradingView at 38 as you were saying that. I was like, oh, right, yep, we're there, 38. Yeah.
Hit 38, then we should hit close to 40 and 41, and then maybe push for an all-time high again.
Mm-hmm. I concur, sir.
All right. Why don't you give me some stocks you're watching for the week?
Oh, well, I mean, of course I was watching that AMC madness, but we don't have to cover that here. I was watching, one of the ones I was watching was HPQ, Hewlett Packard.
Yeah.
They had all-time highs December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then like the sell-off was like lower volume than the buy-up leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling really good about it. It caught its support at about the 35 area, turned around, started up, but it ended Friday with this tombstone doji and a ton of volume.
A ton of volume. I see that.
A ton of volume. So instead of finding new highs and breaking through 40, I'm eyeing to see if that 35 area holds. Well, or 34 half.
Yeah.
It's got a gap.
Yep.
From 32.5 up to 34 that it's probably going to fill. So I've got another level below at 32. I would hope that we catch up.
And then you got the volume that starts to build up around 31 to 30.
Yeah. Yep. There's volume down there. The most of the volume since the summer has come between 26 and 30. So it might have to get down there before it goes back up again.
I'm not an expert when it comes to Fibonacci retracements. I do try to dabble with them, but if I go from the bottom to the peak of the most recent move, starting at like 26 up to the 3850 roughly.
Yeah.
The most recent retrace was in between like the first two, between the 236 and the 382.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't as far as you might expect.
No, I think normally you expect like a at least the 382, most usually like the 0.5 or the 0.618. And the 0.618 would put it right at $30.80, which is right where I have my support level.
See, I've drawn mine at 32, which is right along the 0.5 line. So dueling Fibonacci ideas.
I could see one there too. Yeah, I could see a support there.
But it is kind of funny how that Fibonacci kind of draws those two levels and that weak consolidation there between in November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, that's good catch on that candlestick pattern too.
Oh, the tombstone informs?
Yeah. That's almost textbook. We need to, we'll put a link to the tombstone doji in the description if people want to see what that's all about.
It is almost textbook. Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Is you know, we'll see if that textbook means anything.
All right. You got any other ones?
I mean, I've got plenty I could talk about all day. The one I want to talk about, you want to talk about too, so we'll let you introduce.
Well, one of the ones I really want to talk about is Roku.
Oh, well, that wasn't one of mine. Let me pull that up. Roku.
No, we can do the other one together.
All right, let's hear about Roku.
Nice double top at 486 from, let's see, beginning or February and in July. I'm sure you can see that. And then this nice bear move down that's in the middle of right now. It's trading at 236. I've got 200 as like a really key support level. But if you look at the peaks of the three peaks on this latest down move, you can draw a line on that. You know, as we like to say in technical analysis, three touches is a strong support resistance. Those line up like perfectly.
At 265?
The look at the three peaks from the most recent downward leg. The one from July 21, the one from 20 October, and from 9 December. So basically from the all-time high down.
Oh, you're drawing a trend line. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Look at that.
That's beautiful. Look at that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this 200 level is very, very, very key, I think. Not a lot of volume there. And the volume doesn't really pick up until you get down into the, you know, mid-150s.
Yeah.
150 area looks like where it should catch ultimate support.
150?
Yeah, 151, somewhere in that area where that big volume node is at.
If you follow that line down, it's going to be the middle of February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm watching this one to see if that move continues. I'd consider seeing if it retests that trend line again, maybe picking up some puts.
You're not concerned with the volume ticking up so strong this past week?
The volume ticked up really strong with the sell initially on the last, if you're looking at the last 3 days.
I'm mostly looking at December.
Yeah, volume has been up, but it's also still down or still moving down. Like, I think it still looks like to me the sell volume is still stronger than the buy volume.
Yeah, I just think that $200 is such a psychological strong level.
Such a strong level. Yeah, and I think, yeah, you actually make a good point. That's probably the spot to watch for. Watch and see if it breaks that.
Yeah.
And retest. That's probably the stronger move.
Yeah, but we have tested it twice now, so.
Yep.
Test it three times. You got to figure it's gonna give eventually.
That trend line, though, would serve as a good indicator for maybe if that trend is breaking. As soon as you pop up above that.
Oh, yeah.
Usually you get one touch at least on it as it continues down just on the other side of it before you continue that bullish momentum if it is going to flip around. But that's something to watch, I think.
Mm-hmm. Watching Roku for a reversal.
We both had Zillow on our list, so.
Yes. Zillow.
We talked about them. Oh God, when was that? Six weeks ago.
Yeah,
beginning of November. All our levels are still working fucking beautifully on here. You, when we were looking at this together, you identified on the third, we got that big volume spike. What looked like a massive buyer coming in at 57 to 58.
Yeah.
And that level has been holding his support all this week. So that was about the area where I picked up my calls. I think it was around 59 when I picked up the ones I was able to get. I tried to get a couple more a little bit lower throughout the rest of the week and never got filled on any more of them. But I'm watching this to see if it can break out of that 65 level. I've got a mini one at 69, and then I've got a gap that needs to fill from 76 to 85. And that my ultimate support is at 52. Then if it breaks below that, then I think we're dumping again.
I've got a bullish sentiment on this one as well.
Yeah, the volume is trending in the right direction. On the down days, the volume's dying up. The up days, the volume's higher. Everything you want to see for like a bullish reversal sign.
But we still got to see a clear 65 half to really stay in it.
Yeah, I jumped in a little more aggressively because of that big buyer. I would have waited for 65 otherwise. I figure with if we at least retest 65, I'll at least get my money back or a nice little tidy profit. I mean, I already sold half of them for a profit, so I'm sitting okay on these. But yeah, 65, ultimately, you want to see that break and retest and then go fill that gap.
Loving Zillow. But
and then I abandon that if it breaks below 52.
Right. But, you know, it also, you can make a case for that rounded bottom at that 52 area. So I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. You had a good argument when we talked about it originally. Like the losses that they should have sustained should have already been on the books.
Yeah.
Like everything that happened or everything that everyone was upset about, it already happened. It was in the past. It came out during their earnings.
Yeah. Yeah. We've already suffered.
Right.
You know, who's left to sell, right?
Yeah. And then what, like, are you expecting more bad news?
Right.
Did the AI home buying bot turn itself back on when nobody was looking?
So what we did to fix it, guys, is we made an AI home selling bot. Problem solved.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. If that happens, then sell it. Yeah. All right. Should we wrap up with the next couple weeks worth of earnings?
We're going so long. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. On the 20th, we have Nike, Micron, MU, Carnival, CCL. On the 21st, we've got BlackBerry, BB, General Mills, GIS. 22nd, we've got CarMax, KMX, Cintas, CTAS, and Paychex, PAYX. Nothing of note then until the following week on the 5th when Bed Bath & Beyond reports. And then on the 6th, we've got Walgreens Boots Alliance, WBA.
All right. Walgreens. Gotta love delivering prescription drugs now. We'll see if it helped their profits. Well, Kyle, normally this is when I say, let's talk about some crypto, but I got nothing to talk about.
I have no stories either. I guess maybe we can look at the Bitcoin chart.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. Cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin, or should we do Ethereum?
Let's look at the Ethereum chart.
All right, Ethereum to dollar. Oh, I see a support.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing 3720.
Looks like I just recently tagged that one. Almost a double top, not quite. I do have a failed new high back in the 30th of November.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that we're starting to see is that maybe cryptos aren't necessarily the inflation hedge that we thought that they were.
Yeah.
I mean, is gold doing the same thing? Is gold dropping too?
I thought gold was just stagnant. I could be mm-hmm. wrong. I haven't been following it in a while. Let me see. Gold. Yeah, gold is... Yeah, it's down in November.
All right, so gold is down too. Well, I guess...
The last...
Maybe that's not...
Last couple days, it's seen some positive movement. Oh, I'm looking at the hourly. God damn it. 1 week.
Oh.
Yeah, gold is in a massive... Gold is looking like the AMC chart. we got a nice pendant on gold.
Mm-hmm.
Had a high back in June. I don't think it's being used as an inflation hedge.
On the positive side, though, it looks like the sell volume is starting to decrease. When it did tag that 3675 level, the buy volume started picking up. So that area is looking like it's acting as decent support. See if it continues that. Looks like it's trying to retest it again.
Yeah, I'd really like to pick some up around
2800.
Yeah, that would be beautiful level to get it.
I guess there's another level at 3200.
Yeah, I got one right around there.
Ooh, cryptocurrencies, Ethereum.
Crypto, there you go.
Volume's been smashing upwards all winter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not helping the price.
No.
All right. Hey, Kyle, could you do me a quick favor?
Pew, pew.
Ah, God damn it. Kyle, I had a great for the week. I didn't have a good. I had a great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a follow-up private personal call with Rich Friesen that was just phenomenal.
You know, the feedback we're getting on the episode that just came out with him was like getting such great compliments. I just recently re-listened to it. And besides our terrible math display, I think that's going to be one of my favorites.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I see, it's funny to me because I, as the subject of the being on the couch, like, mm-hmm. I know I got something out of it, but it's crazy to me that other people are managing to get something out of it.
Oh, I got a lot out of that.
I will admit I edited out a lot of the silences, so all the time I spent thinking has been cut, so it sounds mm-hmm. like I'm just so in tune with myself. Like,
yeah, Laura even made the comment of that when we were listening to it. It's like, oh, I don't know how he came up with those answers so fast. Like, yeah, those were edited. He didn't.
because the therapist asking a question and you know, having 45 seconds of silence on the podcast is
just, it would be so
hard to listen to. Ooh, I wonder what he's gonna come up with.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I had the follow-up and I thought it was just gonna be me telling him what a great job he did and how much better I am, but no, he took it further. And man, I wish it could have been another episode. I mean, it was just, yeah, the guy is so good. Mm-hmm. Many, many thanks to him. And I'm really glad, you know, the whole honesty in the show and the whole purpose of this show and sticking with that in a situation like that, really, I'm glad that it's people are reacting well to it.
Because
it was definitely worth it for me to mm-hmm. open up and be honest with Rich, for sure.
Well, my good sucks compared to that. my good was not trading today.
Yeah.
I had a big break in the routine. We had a dental appointment, as I mentioned at the beginning. I tossed around the idea of maybe getting up early and maybe trying to lay a couple trades on before the market opened.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, you know, if my routine is broken, then why am I trading?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I decided to just basically call it a day completely. I mean, I sat down afterwards and threw a couple sim trades in, but nothing live.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, I think so. What was your bad?
I don't think I had a bad this week.
No bads?
I didn't do enough. I don't know what you want me to say.
I
sat out the FOMC.
Yeah.
I sat out the next day. I sim traded
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, these are market conditions that aren't what I've been working with. You know, I'm unexpected. I'd rather try and sim trade them. Mm-hmm. And then I sat out today because I couldn't get out. I was so excited to get up and trade this morning,
right?
Because it wasn't FOMC or the day after. That last night I was just laying in bed running through risk management scenarios and runners and take profit, how many ticks. Like, I was just mathing it in my head, and I was up 2 hours past my bedtime and I had to take a sleeping pill. So I slept through all my morning prep routine.
Oh, so you did the same thing.
Okay, so that was my bad. I got excited, had to take a sleeping pill, ended up ruining. I couldn't trade Friday because I slept through. I should say, I was telling Jen, it's like the trade planner didn't show up to work.
Right. So
the trade executor showed up and he was like, all right, what am I going to do? I got this. I don't need that planning, motherfucker. And then I'm like staring at the screen and I'm like, you know what? I do. I do need that planning, motherfucker. I'm totally off. So I didn't trade.
That's fucking awesome, though. I mean, like, yeah, we both had the similar scenario then.
Yeah,
like neither of us got our prep work in. Our routine was
totally altered, smashed. Yeah,
and just took the day off. I think there's a lot to be said for that. My bad is my reaction to the not trading on Friday. It was trying to come up with ways that I could, and that's almost like a gambler mentality. Like, I got to get my fix in.
Right.
so, So that's something that I maybe need to address or take a closer look at.
You know, you got a problem when you're like calling your wife up and like asking her, like, hey, you want to buy any put contracts from me? You want to sell me some calls? Like, come on, let's just do a little options right here. Come on, just me and you.
No, when you're sitting in the dental office and you're on your phone lamenting the fact that you couldn't buy that beautiful turnaround.
All right.
Anyway, what was your ugly then? I guess you probably didn't have one of those.
Didn't have one of those either.
Yeah. All right. My ugly, because I did. I forgot all about some calls I had on Norwegian Cruise Line.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Luckily, they're January, but I completely forgot to be like, you know, babysitting them or following up on them. Hadn't looked at them in like a week. They're down from where I bought them. Luckily, I bought a bunch of them and sold a bunch for a profit. So I think as long as I can get like 20 cents out of them, I still break even. I mean, that's not a good way to go. I need to go back to logging all my trades and not just my futures trades, because that's where all my energy has been put into lately.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Same here. Nice. Well done.
Oops. I did it again.
Oops, you did it again. You made the wrong call. You're watching it fall. Oh, not again. You thought that you were so great and you couldn't wait. You're not that good at this.
All right, let's make a bet. Let's talk about
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do that and be done.
Stocks. In the center of a universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread. It's the mighty bet.
So Kyle, we're not going to be on the air next week or the week after. So I think we got to make just one epic last bet of the year.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-week bet. Yeah.
It's a 2-week bet. Oh, well, you get to go first.
Well, excellent. I've been relishing this day.
Oh, yeah?
No. No, I hate being in the back. I'm going to go with the SPXL.
Oh.
I'm going to go with the triple leveraged bull SPY fund. It's trading at, I think, around 130 right now. I think if the S&P hits 500 or 5,000, yeah, the SPY, if it hits 500, that would put it at about 165 or 160-ish, somewhere in that. 162.5, I think, based on the 3X. So I'm going to put a take profit at 155 and fuck a stop loss because I need to win.
End of the year.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of want to pick the SPXS now.
You want to just ensure that one of us is going to win?
One of us is going to win big.
Do you want to bet against Vico?
Sometimes.
All right. Yeah, it would have worked for me on Twitter.
Vico's not a god.
It seems like it.
No, I actually, I don't know. I have a lot of choices. It's hard for me to do 2 weeks. It's hard for me to do 1 week.
Yeah.
Things have been kind of crazy this month. I got to say, I want to short something.
Yeah.
And I think the thing I'm going to short is HP. I'm going to short HPQ. I think it's going to fill that gap for the end of the year.
I think as bets. Oh, wow, that's a beautiful bet.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm fucked. I'm so fucked.
I do think that that's what's going to happen.
Oh man, I'm so screwed.
I could be wrong. So I'm going to put a stop above. We'll say at 38. No, we'll put it at 38.50. We'll just put it at, it's
if it's a if new it, all-time high, then
if it's making a new all-time high, I'm out, right?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to do a take profit at I'll do my first to take profit at 34.
All right.
And then if it fills that gap, I'm out. I'll sell the rest.
Okay.
Fills that gap and gets down to 32.25.
3225. I should be writing this down.
Say 3250.
HPQ. Yeah. Stop loss at. You said that's at 36.
Stop loss at 3850. First take profit at 34 and the other one at 3250. And then we'll call it done. So
32 at 3250. And we need one for stupid random.
Oh.
And we need to pick a good one, so give me an odd or even.
Even.
And a 1 through 12.
Gonna be 1.
Consumer durables, NASDAQ. I don't know that there are consumer durables on the NASDAQ.
Yeah, that sounds oxymoron.
VIOT, Viomi Technology.
All right.
Look at that buy volume.
Oh, Jesus.
God damn it, Dan.
Yeah, but switch over to the weekly.
1 week. Okay, much better. When in doubt, zoom it out.
Yeah, so they might have a turnaround. I don't know, but they are just getting destroyed this year. So
yeah, you can buy a lot of shares with those $479.
Yeah,
that is a lot of volume that came in today, though.
Well, it's 16 cents above its all-time low.
Yeah,
all-time low.
I think it is its all-time low.
Well, 216 was the low. It backed up a little bit. It had some buying volume. Yeah. So
they hit that today.
it's possible in the next 2 weeks somebody comes in and scoops up these shares.
What do they do?
Pushes that price up.
Electronics and appliances. I never heard of these guys.
Now you have.
All right.
All right, folks. Kyle is long on the S&P. He's picked that SPXL, triple leverage. You know, I love them triple leverage funds.
Triple leverage to the rescue.
I'm short HPQ, and Random has VIOT
Random
at all-time lows.
Random is going for broke.
Going for broke. Stay tuned. We'll be back with a series of Christmas and New Year's episodes. We've got all them guests coming back. It's going to be great stuff. You don't want to miss it. A lot of predictions for what's going to happen in 2022.
Some of them may be right.
Some of them may even be right. And we'll see you on the other side of the new year, folks.
See you in 22.
See you in 22. Happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network, blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.